The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
These are the words of Christ. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me to me, I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you had given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you and speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so they may also be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Could you see? Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we have the final prayer of Jesus Christ. The words he prays to God before his arrest, his crucifixion, and death. And what a confusing prayer it is. I am not in the world, they are not in the world, I have come to you, they have come to you, what we share together, etc., etc. It's difficult to understand, it's difficult to follow, it's difficult to comprehend. Genesis chapter 1, not so difficult to understand, not so difficult to comprehend. In 6 days, God brought into being creation. He separated earth from water. He put a sun in the sky, a moon in the sky, stars in the sky. He separated sky from earth. God brought into being animals of every kind, animals of the land, animals of the air, and animals of the sea, livestock, fish, and birds. God brought forth vegetation, plants, and fruits with seeds. God created man, male and female, we're told. God created humanity in his image. And after every day on these 6 days of creation, God looked at creation and said, it is good. The earth is good. The solar system is good. Animals are good. Fish are good. Birds are good. Reptiles are good. Plants are good. And yes, you and I as human beings, God forms us out of clay, blows his spirit of life into us and says, we are good. How was your week? I probably asked 30 people today, how was your week? And you know what they said? It was good. Now, do we mean the same thing as God when we said, we're good? Was your week good? How do we define what good is? Is good simply, we made it to the long weekend? Is good simply, well, we paid all our bills? Is good simply, well, my truck didn't break down? Is good simply, well, I get an extra day off work. There's groceries in the fridge. My grandkids came to visit. It's a beautiful day outside. So we look at our lives and say, it is good. But just in that span of 6 days, the same length of time that God created the world, let us look at the week that was. Were our weeks really good? Because when God says something is good, God is speaking of perfection. God is speaking of beauty. God is speaking of a design plan of creation. When we say something's good, we're kind of saying, ah. How was work? Did you get along with your coworkers? Did you take any stresses home with you at night? Do you have concerns about your job? Do you have concerns about a project you're working on? Is unemployment looming? How are your relationships in life? Are you getting along with your fellow family members? Are you getting along with your neighbors? Are there unresolved conflicts in your life? Are there people whose phone calls you won't answer? People you cross the road so you won't stop and talk to? How is your financial life? Are there debts looming? Are there outstanding expenses? Are there things that you're putting off because you can't afford them? Are there things too delicate that you don't want to talk about others because you have a sense of failure? How is your health? Are things nagging you? Are you waiting for tests from a doctor? Do you have a lump that you're scared to even think about? Are you undergoing treatment? Is something keeping you up at night? These things are true for all of us. Every person sitting here can answer yes to one or more of these questions. Our relationship, our finances, our sense of purpose, our sense of belonging, our place in our family of origin, and yes, our health. None of it is perfect. And yet when I come to you or someone comes to you and say, how was your week? You respond, good. Why? Why do we do that? Because we want to pretend that it is good. We set the bar very low for what good is. Did we make it through the week? Did we inch by life? But is that really good? Is simply living to see another day, paying another bill, showing up for work another morning really good? Even here in Canada, I think the best country on earth, with access to education and health care and clean drinking water, with a safe standard of living, life is not easy. We struggle in relationships and finances. We struggle in raising children. We struggle in defining right from wrong, our place in the world, and what our futures will look like. We lose sleep. We suffer sickness. We know the sting of death. Life is difficult. Often, if you ever felt like a square peg in a round hole, if you struggle in relationships, if you struggle with your place in society, if you look around and say, how come everybody else has so much and I have so little? How come they're all so happy and I'm not so happy? Then you're not alone. Because we're all living these good, seemingly perfect lives. Because we have labeled them as such. We can spend money to try and achieve the goodness of life. We can create a fantasy life on social media and try and create the image of perfection to our friends and family. We can wear clothes we can't afford, drive vehicles we can barely make payments on, live in houses that we can barely furnish, whatever it may be, so that we have a sense of some external perfection in our lives. But why not just admit that life is hard? These are the words of Christ in his prayer today. To us, the followers of Jesus, children of God, blessed by the Holy Spirit, we are told, you know what? You live in this world, but you're not of this world. You are going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time in relationships. You're going to have a hard time discerning right from wrong. You're going to have a hard go of it if you try and live out this thing that we call faithfulness. Not every day will be good. Not every week will be good. But God has given us the goodness of the world. We are in the world. And this same world that God looked at and said, it is good, we are called to enjoy. We are called to enjoy the gifts of creation, the gifts of family, the gifts of love, the gifts of music, the gifts of whatever it may be. Because God has created all this and said to us, it is good. So what is sinfulness? Sinfulness is that which pulls us away from the goodness of God's creation. Sinfulness is that which tells us it's not really good. What you have isn't good enough. What you experience isn't good enough. Your wife, your husband, your children, your job, your home, your backyard isn't good enough. We take what God has blessed us with and we said, we don't want that. And we substitute something false for it. We substitute a false God. We substitute the world that says, this is what is good, this is what is desirable, this is what you should want. Here is what your spouse should look like, your children should look like, your bank account, your family vacations, your photo album, and your Facebook feed. And once you attain all this, then you can say, it is good. But we never attain it. And we let the world dictate to us happiness, success, joy, and peace. And these things are all in the realm of God. So Christ prays for us and says, do not let the world ensnare you in that endless cycle. Be free to enjoy what you have been given. The gifts of love, peace, joy, and salvation. These things are good. They are manifestly good. They are perfected by Christ. Today we celebrate a baptism of two young men. We pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for the protection and guidance of God in their lives. And it's the same prayers that were said at your baptisms. And in the same spirit they receive today, we receive in our baptisms. And it's the spirit that has guided us to life. And the spirit says to us, life is good. Family is good. Love is good. Service is good. When we pray for protection, we are praying that we are not deceived by a false sense of good. That we find good in what God has blessed us with that is good. That we find good in creation. We find good in family. We find good in service and in what we share together. Christ calls it evil. That nagging desire in the back of your head that you have not achieved what you are to achieve. That there is simply a goodness waiting for you. That everybody around you is doing better than you are. That's evil. Because it is a temptation to be unhappy. To be unhappy with all that you've been blessed with. To look at your spouse and be unhappy with them. Because someone's got a better version of a husband or a wife. To look at your children and be unhappy with them. Because someone's got a better version of children. To look at the vacation you've had planned this summer and to be unhappy with it because someone's got a better version of what a vacation should look like. To look at your house and despise it because someone's got a better version of what a house should look like. To look at your physical body and despise it because somebody's got a better version of what a physical body should be. We will never have happiness following that ideal. We will never have joy. We will never have peace. We will have anger, malice. We will be discontented. We will be miserable. We will wreck relationships. We will tear down that which others build up. And we'll feel like we're never getting ahead. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. The world does not define for us what is success. The world does not define for us what is love. The world does not define for us what is important. We live in this world because God created this world. We enjoy this world because God said it is good. But we will not let the evil one put the veil over our eyes and say, the good is not good and the evil is good. Because we have been given a new way. And that is the way of Christ. It is the way to perfection. It is the way to everlasting life. It is the way to which we are called. Amen.